If the board so chooses, we can make changes to the current structure and procedures that we use for board and committee meetings. But before we open up for discussion amongst the board, we do have a public comment card from Lynn Planbeck. So, Ms. Planbeck, if you would kindly let us know what your public comment is.
It would certainly be great to hear the discussion before I make a comment. However, I would just like to say that I'm really glad that you're having this discussion, because it's concerned me for a long time that when so much work is done in committees, that it doesn't come to the full board for review of all the board members. So if you're on one committee, you know what happens, but if you're not on the other one, you're not really cognizant, especially of complicated issues like from engineering and finance. And it's so boring. You can go and listen to the board meetings as a board member, but then that seems unfair to me that board members are required this extra time to go and listen to a separate board meeting without any kind of reimbursement. It's not fair. They take hours out of their lives and go and listen to a different board meeting so that they can understand it when really it should come to the board. It's difficult for the public to know where issues are being discussed and if they're in a committee rather than coming to the whole board, so the public doesn't really understand what you're doing either. And I know it would be difficult maybe to do it for all the items, but you know, there's just really important items that are very expensive or very concerning to the public that should come to the full board rather than just be passed through engineering, and then when it comes to the board, everybody says, well, engineering approved it, so we really shouldn't take the time to discuss it. I think that it's important. And if it means maybe, I think there have been some suggestions about how to handle this, but I just think it's really important to resolve it so that all the board members are on the same page and have seen all the presentations from all the committees. And it seems like when you bring something to the board that's just been approved by the committee, and then you say, well, the committee should approve this, but I mean, the board should approve it now because the committee has discussed it. That means that only three people, whoever the three people are, or four people, I don't know how many are in your committees now, that means that that's who's running that portion of the agency. And that's not fair. It should be the whole board. I mean, it's not, it's a transparency problem as well. So I really hope that you find a way to resolve this, and if it means maybe devoting a special board meeting to engineering and maybe having one more board meeting or two more board meetings a month, maybe that's, I mean, I keep saying engineering, but it's the case for finance as well. So that's my concern, and I hope you do resolve it so that the whole board hears everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. As a way of a little further introduction and response to Lynn's comment, every item that requires action out of engineering committee or any other committee does come to the full board, either on the consent calendar or as a formal presentation. And we make an effort to, I know Chair Cooper of engineering makes an effort to put items that are complicated as a full presentation by the engineering staff to the full board so that the full information is made available not only to the full board but to the public. And as we all know, every standing committee is governed by the Brown Act, which means only four members of the board can participate in any committee, but all board members are welcome to attend as members of the public and listen firsthand, hear the presentations firsthand, and then there's lengthy reports that are provided for each committee at each board meeting following a committee meeting, and I do believe they're all recorded as well, so there's plenty of ways that the full board can get information from what is discussed at committee. And so with that, I would now open it up to just a general discussion of if anyone has concerns about our committee structure and our board frequency and board meetings, please speak up, because this is your chance. Vice President Gutzeit.
I was going to wait, but I can start.
Well, I don't want Captain Colley to wait, so.
Oh, yes, no one wants Captain Colley to wait, so go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, so. I actually agree with a lot of what Lynn said. There are some issues with the committee structure. I would add to the problems of the committee structure is that if you're a member of a committee, you have to sit through the same presentation twice, and you have to, it wastes a lot of time, for me at least, to be on a committee and then rehear the same thing, and it seems like deja vu oftentimes. Anyway, but that wasn't the main thing I wanted to start off, I guess, the discussion. I suggested some time ago that we consider the possibility of adding a meeting for the third Tuesday of the month. So adding, basically scheduling three board meetings per month. And my thinking would be we have a structure wherein that board meeting would not have scheduled any action items. Okay, so that we would make it our practice to not provide, nothing would be voted on. There's an action item in that meeting, and the intent would be to take care of education, discussions of things. I note that I talked to April a little bit in trying her efforts to schedule this meeting and trying to schedule it around all of us. I don't know, she didn't tell me, but from our discussion it was apparent that she spent a lot of time trying to wrangle us and trying to get our answers back. And is it possible? Can we do this meeting these different days? If we all had scheduled on our calendars the third Tuesday of the month another meeting, she could just simply say to the general manager or the president that that's not the meeting we're going to cancel in March. Okay, we're going to hold that meeting because the board wants to discuss something special, wants something extra. She could do trainings the same way. She could do, there are many, many times she has to schedule a special board meeting for some reason. And it would save her a lot of time and save us a lot of hassle that we already had on our calendars. And so if there was nothing, no education that was needed, there was no special topic that we needed to discuss, if there was nothing like any other meeting of a committee or the board, it gets canceled. And the board president can cancel it in a heartbeat, no problem. And otherwise, we hold that meeting. And if it's, you get the agenda, and the agenda is something that you have no interest in, and you already feel like you're educated, and perhaps just making something up. Perhaps we have a history of Devil's Den. Okay? Now, I would think that Beth would probably be very interested in listening, knowing more about the history of Devil's Den and how that came about and the ins and outs of it. I've been on the Devil's Den board for I don't know how many years. I've been on this board for quite a few years. I think, I've visited Devil's Den. I might well think, I don't really need to learn about Devil's Den. Okay, so I'm going to skip that meeting because I just don't need to go. So that would be my thinking, that you could go or not go, depending on the agenda, and you could cancel or not cancel that meeting based on the need. So that's my thinking and what I'd like to propose that we seriously consider today, along with some changes to committee structure, which I think we ought to discuss as well.
So, Director Colley, are you proposing that to be a standing meeting then?
Yes, it would be a regularly scheduled meeting.
That's one proposal.
always think it's funny when I look at Ed and I'm not even, we agree on a lot of things. Darn it. But I have a little, I have a spin on that concept. And I think my overriding thought, looking at the information presented and the past discussion, is, and coming from a smaller agency, so this was our boardroom last time, and because it was a smaller agency, there was a lot less going on, and we rarely had committee meetings. We had one standing meeting a month, one regular meeting, not two, right? See, I can't remember. And that was fine, and we knew more what was going on. Going to the new agency is just much bigger. And there's a lot more going on, a lot more construction, a lot of expensive things. That being said, where I've landed is the need to generally trust the committee and consultants. Because I don't feel like I can be an expert at everything. I think our staff has everything really well covered, and there's a few things I'll ask questions about on committees I'm not on. Like if somebody talks about environmental consulting or permitting, you know, I might have a question on that, and I'll call people up. But am I going to call about engineering just because I sort of know about engineering? I trust the engineering staff, and it's just too much for my brain on top of working. And I trust that our policy of bringing controversial items to the full board, if it's something that the committee was divided on, then maybe we need to pay attention to why are they divided on it. If it's a big ticket item, it's going to come to the full board. Other than that, I just personally don't need to hear the nitty-gritty daily activities of the engineering committee because I'm on finance and POL. So I've landed at there's just things that I'm not going to be an expert on. I'm going to trust the committees, trust the staff, trust the consultants, and participate in detail in the committees that I am on. I do feel that the public and directors is always free to ask questions of the staff. I also think that that is much easier offline than having a comment raised at, you know, hey, what percent of our well samples had elevated coliform in it in 1995. I don't know. Who knows that at, you know, 9:30 at night? If you ask them that before the meeting offline, they can look it up. They can tell you. You can discuss if it's an issue or not, rather than bringing it up at the full board. So I think people underestimate the willingness of staff to answer very detailed questions offline when they can look it up and dig through the databases. You mentioned committee alterations. We talked at POL. I think some people know that POL had an agenda item to discuss what POL would do. We arrived at reducing some of the consulting reports from the lobbyists. That committee has minimal action items. And I think I struggled with that coming from other committees that have more action items. I personally am wary of having a committee that doesn't have regular action items. I would prefer to cancel except for action item meetings because I view it as staff time, consulting time, and non-action time. But we have made changes to POL. I think we have a bunch of action items now, and the committee did say that they would cancel if there was not a need to meet. So, but I hear you on that one. And then lastly, I noticed in the survey, which I think was a great idea, of interest to me is that this is ours. There's only one agency besides ours that meets at night. And I know we have a 9 p.m. stop time. I also know we've gone over the 9 p.m. stop time. And I know we have people driving more than, you know, an hour to get home. I know we have people getting up at 5 o'clock or before 5 o'clock if they got to catch a flight. I would be interested in, at minimum, stopping hard stop at 9 or moving earlier, meaning an afternoon meeting. 5:30 really would only be more chaos, but we talk a lot about quality of life. We have people that are here all day or working all day, and then if we're getting home at 10 and maybe getting to sleep at 11 and getting up at 5 repeatedly, that's hard. So I think we watch our durations, and I don't know if anybody would go for it, but I would be willing to give up an afternoon for meetings rather than be coming home at 10 and having to get up early. So that's my download.
Okay. Mr. Bumpkin.
So, first of all, I want to thank you for having this meeting. I am one of those people that have brought up it once or twice, I'm not sure, made a few comments. So, I'm thankful that we're taking the time to discuss this, and I really hope that we're all listening with, you know, kind of like an open mind, and not, and I understand that things have been done in a certain way for a long time, and I understand that there's a philosophy of that if it's not broke, don't fix it. I happen to think it's broken from my perspective. Not broken, but I see room for improvement and change in ways that I think that we could be a more cohesive unit. I have a radical suggestion. I think that we should actually move in a way away from committees and just turn them into board meetings. As in meeting once a week on Tuesdays, once a month it can be, you know, the theme can be F&A, the next week can be water resources, the one after that engineering, and then the last one can be POL, and I mean, I think we also all have different thoughts about how that committee should be organized, so just for the big picture idea. Now, I know that it sounds like a lot, but I think that if we have something scheduled every week and it's just there, it's just easier. I think that that's a way that we can devote time for all of us being on board, and we don't have to re-watch presentations sometimes, and you know, things can be brought to the board right then and there, and we can make a decision right then and there. And if for some crazy reason we can't make a decision, the next week we can vote on it. You know, there's a meeting coming. It's not like we have to wait a whole month for it to get settled, or another 2 weeks, or what, or have a special board meeting because time is of the essence. I think that if all of us, now, I definitely think that it probably has to do with what committee meetings somebody might be on and how many committee meetings people might be on, where they might feel like they're good where they are or not good where they are. I personally would like to understand more about what's going on in other departments, and I think that it would streamline everything so much better, because understanding the budget, like, heck, we know why we need to, why 218 is coming up, because we've seen the, you know, water resources, we've seen the engineering. Everything is part of everything. It's all connected. And I think that as we're putting them in different pots each time, a lot is lost in translation. And so while I know it sounds like it's a lot of work, I think that it would still be up mostly to each department to do its meeting, to organize that board meeting. So I don't think it would be, you know, I think that April would probably be the queen mastermind over everything, but whoever organized that meeting ahead of time, if it's POL, well, they're going to be organizing that board meeting for POL. So it's not something that April necessarily has to do herself. I think that a lot of these agencies don't have the same issues that we have. First of all, almost all these boards are like 5 people. So it's not really a big board to begin with. I think with 9 people and a lot of different opinions and thoughts, you know, I think it's better that we have the discussion up front instead of waiting until it gets to the board meeting. And then, you know, you know, I'm just gonna let it go for now. I'm sure I'm gonna there's gonna be more discussion, and so, you know, I'll open to it. But that's just a different way of thinking about it, per se. Thank you.
Ken, did you want to say anything before I turn to my room?
Please don't
give me the
Thank you, Gary. I just loved listening to the 3 board members already, their comments, and of course Lynn's comments too. You know, from perspective of an ex-staff person that used to support boards over my career, and I think Dirk can probably relate some experiences too, is that staff work for a board meeting is very tense. Always is. And these committees that we're on these days are the same way. And I think when there is not an item on the committee that needs to be acted on for the board, the committee it goes dark for that week. And I'm fine with that, of course. But that's happened a couple of times in the engineering committee, and now it's happened once at least in the finance committee since I've been on before. Since I'm on those two committee meetings, I think they're kind of like board meetings to begin with, especially when they're at Rio Vista, being up the diocese and everything. The aspects of my experience, and I know it from the staff point, is that when they come back from a committee meeting now, they got to put another report together to provide it to the board, and Greg will make sure that happens, of course. And she used to wrangle me around about that all the time. I remember that really well. But it is a lot of tension for the staff. My opinion is that I think I can agree with Beth a little bit about why don't we just make it full board meetings, since we're all doing about 4 meetings a month anyway. And then go from there. And if we can't make a board meeting that week, well, that's how it is, and that's fine with me. But that's where I'm heading right now. I've been thinking about it ever since that Beth brought it up and before. And I kind of basically agree with her. We should probably have board meetings instead for the different committees. And as far as the other water districts that were listed here, they do it all different, I know. I've been involved, so I know. So sometimes they have action items, sometimes they don't. And they make recommendations or they look at studies or whatever, and they go forward. It was interesting about IRWD, since I was very much involved with those meetings all the time. And they changed their time. They used to be at 8:30 in the morning. From the staff point of view, that was a lot of tension. Be there at 8:30 in the morning. And, but anyway, so with that, I'll stop my comments.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. Director Armitage?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I also appreciate the fact that we're having this meeting, so thank you for convening this. I see this issue as impacting 2 main areas. One is the way information flows to the board members, and the second is staff time. So I know there were some comments already made about staff time. And I also want to say thank you to Ms. Jacobs and whoever else on the staff put together or compiled this summary, the benchmark agency comparison summary, so thank you for that. And I think the lesson that we got from all this, as was already mentioned, that agencies do it in a few different ways. So
benchmark.
I
can't see it.
So currently, I think everybody knows that we have 2 board meetings a month, and most of us are assigned to 2 committees. I think there's only a couple that only have 1 committee currently. So we're already attending 4 meetings a month. And However, because of Brown Act reasons, as you mentioned, each of us only get to attend and participate in 1 to 2 meetings a month. So half the time, we're not hearing the information and able to participate in a discussion on information that's being brought to the other half of the board. When I do a little bit of the quick math, when I heard Director Bronstein kind of pitch the idea of possibly doing 4 meetings instead of doing committee meetings, I thought, huh, that's interesting. But it wasn't until last night that I actually sat down and started like thinking about the logistics. I'm like, what does this mean? How much does it kind of cost the agency comparison-wise? And so when I kind of did the quick math, the way we're currently doing it, everybody shows up to all their meetings. The agency's paying out 34 meeting stipends for directors. And then there's costs related to staff time and preparing the presentations for us, right? Presenting at the committee meetings, and then being available and maybe presenting a second time at the board meetings, right? And so we kind of do the think outside the box, change our structure from board meetings and committee meetings to just 4 board meetings. That changes to from 34 to 36 stipends for directors. However, I feel like there would be a lot of efficiency in staff time for most staff. I know not for all staff. There's some staff that it may increase their workload, so things might need to be shifted. But I'm thinking in general, it may be much more efficient. I mean, I think we should eventually hear from staff to see what the opinion on that would be as we continue to have a conversation. So let's see, what else do I want to say? I think also, as Ms. Plantek pointed out in her public comment, that it also helps with transparency for the public, because I don't even know that a lot of the public knows that we have committee meetings. And a lot of the meat and potatoes of what we discuss and what ultimately gets decided on gets discussed at the committee level. And then it kind of comes to us kind of packaged at the board level, although we do have the ability to have discussion and if there's enough agreement to maybe make changes to something before it gets voted on. But really the committee level so far has been where a lot of the details get worked out and agreed upon. If the 4 board meeting idea is something that people would be open to, I would just say that, you know, we could come up with a criteria, or leadership could come up with a criteria of what goes onto consent calendar so that we still have consent calendar to make the meeting go more efficiently. And I know there's already kind of unofficial criteria that's used to figure that out in committees right now. I would say if this is something that people would be open to, we could think about piloting it for a few months to see how it goes. And if it goes well, great, we can continue. And if not, we can shift back to something else that we think would be better. So I'll leave that as it is and let somebody else speak. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Director Cooper.
This has been, over the years, been brought up many times with many different ideas. And in fact, there was a time many, many years ago when they got rid of committees and said, let's just all do it at the board meeting. That was an utter failure. Board meetings went until after midnight, it was very difficult. At committees, we use committees, and committees, I think, have been very successful. We use them to refine what's coming to the board. We use them to have staff bounce off of us something that they're doing, and then we ask detailed questions. We ask the questions that we would think the board would ask. And then staff makes changes in their presentations to the board in response to that, and change things. We use the consent calendar then for those items to bring forward to the board to speed the board process up, saying, we all know that we paint tanks, so painting a tank doesn't need to come and be discussed. We all do the tax thing that's on there all the time. It doesn't need to be discussed. Small construction projects, they were big projects for probably when it was New Hall Water, but for Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency, they're small construction projects, And those just need to be moved forward on the consent calendar. They're, I don't want to say non-significant, they're significant in that they need to be done, but they're not a big policy issue. And that's what our job is to set policies. I think scheduling a monthly, I don't know what Director Colley was talking, he had a name for it down there.
Study session.
A workshop, a study session. I don't see having a set schedule for it every month as necessary. We could say that if we're going to have one, it'll be on the second Thursday or Wednesday or Tuesday of the month. If we're going to schedule one, that's when it will be. If a subject comes up, that's when we'll schedule it. We could do that. So if there's something coming up on the Delta and we want to have the whole board hear something, we can do that. We want to do budget and have a day where we're going to just go over budget and capital improvement projects. We can do that on that second Tuesday of the month. Should it come up, and the that's up to the president to determine if there's one there. I would say you don't have one scheduled unless one's needed. If it's needed, then you use it on the second Tuesday of the month if it's our off Tuesday. Preparing for board meetings, and I used to do this at Metropolitan, it was a huge job. It's not a well, let's sit down and make a presentation and give it to the board. It doesn't work like that. At Met, you started 3 months early. And you went through it, you did presentations, you did dry runs, you refined it, and it took 3 months to get anything onto the board at Met. Here, it's much quicker. We get it all in the next month. But it takes a lot of board time, a lot of staff time, a lot of secretary time, and administrative assistance. And it's not just putting a presentation together. Do you think staff likes being here tonight rather than being at home and watching Netflix? No, they don't want to be here. Now, the one way that if you wanted to get rid of committees is you could do it for the whole water industry and get rid of stipends and say everybody gets a flat rate. As soon as you did that, everybody got a flat rate, there wouldn't be any committee meetings because people weren't getting paid to come to committees all of a sudden. Well, we get into this business because we're doing it as one of our civic duties. It's something that we're interested in. And we develop these committees that help refine something to bring it to the rest of the board members so that it's in a refined state when it comes to them. If they think they're not hearing everything, they have the ability to come to the meeting, just like the people that are on the committee, and sit in the room. The Noltemeyers are there every committee meeting. They come and listen to it. Everybody else in this room can come do that just as well. They can't be a part of the committee, but they can come listen to it. Kathy goes online and listens to the engineering committee all the time. We see her name on there. You can do that. But to think that we have to be paid to come and do it isn't right. We each get up to 10 stipends a month, and if we were paid at a flat rate, I'll bet you there wouldn't be any committee meetings because people wouldn't say, oh, I don't need to do these things. I'd get paid anyway. So I like the system that we've had. I think it's been very productive for us. You know, we're one of the prime boards, water boards in the state. We're not an insignificant water board. We've got a lot of very dedicated, high-level people on this board that know water. And people that come from other walks of life. And because of that, we have an excellent board. And I think what we get back from those committees, I like what we get back from finance. I don't want to listen to finance committee meetings. And I look at what comes back. And if I've got questions, I'll ask them. But I don't have to be at their committee because I know that they've refined it to bring it to me. And I appreciate that. So I like the system that we have. I think we have a good system. We have the five committees, engineering, water resources, finance, ledge, and agenda planning. And staff has to attend and prepare for every one of those. Now, some of them only take an hour, and some of them take a long time, but if you turned it into four board meetings a month, staff would be doing nothing but preparing for board meetings. I know that I used to prepare at MET that my job, if you had something going to the board, is you worked on that, and Dirk, and I'm sure Ken, and you worked on that full-time for a couple of months to get it in shape to go to the board. It's not just a slap-it-together kind of process. So I think the system that we have works well. I think we have committees staffed appropriately. We have people with the right kinds of backgrounds on the committees, and I'm very pleased with what we have now. I do like the idea of having a workshop, and we can say the second Tuesday of the month, if we need a workshop, that's the day it'll be. And if we have an issue that's coming up, we will let people know in advance that that day is going to be held. But it's nice to have a board meeting the first Tuesday and the third Tuesday. Is I try to schedule vacations in between those, or when I'm not going to be in town, or when the Aqua conference is going, is we have issues with that. You know, if you schedule every week, and I think it would be great. Anyway, my thoughts.
Hold on a second. I didn't think retired people had to schedule vacations.
Well, we have to schedule Saturdays. Well, I guess that's pretty much every day.
Okay. Hold on, Director Armistead. I'd like to give Vice President O and Director Marks a chance to make some comments before we go a second round. Vice President Ozanski.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with Director Cooper here. If we do have a meeting every week, then the consent calendar goes away. And if we do have the consent calendar, then it'll be up to the board officers to determine what is considered on the consent calendar, and that's I would not be okay with that. I mean, I think the reason why we have committee meetings is, just like Director Cooper mentioned, is things get bounced off the committee members, and if there's any issues, edits, that gets refined and brought to the final board meeting. Or bring that it gets brought back to the committee for a second look at it. So yeah, so that would be the problem with having meetings every week. Consent calendar would go. Regarding meetings in the afternoon, I do understand where Vice President Goodside is coming from, but you know that would be very difficult on staff. Your workload during the day is high, but your willpower kind of decreases as you go during the day. So you've got to maybe reserve that time to your job, to your responsibilities, and then focus on presentations during the actual board meetings and in the evenings. But not spend the whole day prepping for a board meeting for that afternoon, and then after that particular meeting, it'll be difficult to determine when they'll be finished, whether it be committee meetings or board meetings. So I would shy away from that. Plus, you're going to be eliminating a lot of people willing to serve in this capacity who have day jobs. All right, and as far as going back to committee meetings and board meetings, there's been a spotlight on the engineering committee meeting. Maybe an explanation of engineering committee is the engineering process of iterative process. You know, iteration 1, 2, and 3, something that just spoke a minute ago and Director Cooper spoke a minute ago. It's kind of important to get that initial feedback. And if it's a very controversial subject or a very expensive one, and you know, those, from what I've seen so far in the 4 years that I've served, that gets brought to the board. And if it's a even split, that also gets passed to the board. And I think we do that really well. And we have to learn from our mistakes too, from the past. I mean, I haven't served as much as Captain Conley and Director Cooper. You know, they've tried doing away with committees, and to just like Director Cooper said, it went past, you know, 11 o'clock midnight. So that might happen again. That's all I have to say at this point.
Okay. Director Marks.
Especially from a staff perspective. It's one thing to go to a committee and maybe you don't have something fully picked, but you want to get some early policy input or indications. And the committee forum is really a perfect place to do that. I mean, I've given a presentations through my career at the committee that just crashed and burned. And, you know, from a staff perspective, I'd much rather do that in a committee where, yes, there are policymakers, there are your bosses there. But staff kind of developed a certain rapport with the committee members, that can be very useful. Committees also serve as a training ground for more junior staff members. We get a lot of committees and a lot of presentations at the board that are made by staff. But, you know, as a department, I was sure that there are other recurring topics that might benefit you. I don't know if it's a review of that and procedures and kind of leave that to the wisdom of others. But those are my thoughts.
Very good, thank you. Kathy, I'll let you be first on the second round because I want to make my comments.
Yeah.
My experience, 20 years of working in a structure that's very similar to ours, where there's standing committees and two board meetings a month, committees perform, I think, a unique and important function. It's part of a two-step process of bringing something to the board for approval. You can see in the planning calendar that staff coordinates things that need to come to the board for approval with the committee calendar. And I'm concerned that eliminating committees, and I'm not even sure how that would work, and maybe Courtney or Rochelle, you could, or Matt or Steve, how that would impact getting things to the board in a timely fashion. It almost as if everything would come to a board meeting without having first been presented to a committee is more difficult than trying to do it across two full board meetings. So I would oppose change. I would be supportive of putting a placeholder for that third Tuesday if there was an important matter that would be presented to the board as an informational or workshop item, and then the agenda planning meets at the end of the month, they can decide whether or not to cancel that informational workshop type meeting well in advance of the meeting. But to establish a standing committee as a kind of a placeholder, we know that we cancel Devil's Den and Upper Santa Clara board meetings regularly when there's nothing to discuss. But I wouldn't have a problem with establishing a standing meeting for the workshop presentations or informational or education, as you put it, because I think when there's not significant or sufficient information to call for a board meeting, we simply would cancel it at the end of the prior month, and you wouldn't. Public would know, staff would know, the board would know. But I really would oppose elimination of committees because I do think they perform an important and unique function in the board approval process for action items. And I will say that consent calendar is not a staff report light approach. Every consent calendar item has a full staff report. And every consent calendar item can be pulled, as our board has done numerous times, and make a full presentation to the board on an item that some directors may feel uncomfortable about considering without a presentation. But it doesn't mean the staff report is deficient. The staff report is complete with whatever backup information is needed and what is presented at committee. As Director Cooper has said, consent calendar is more for routine items that there's really no controversy about. It's recurring items that come to the board for approval as a requirement, but probably routine things that the board has seen many times. But it does still have a full staff report. So consent calendar shouldn't be looked at as a lower process in approving things. But anyway, that's my comment. I'd be very happy to consider a placeholder for a standing committee for education, information, workshop type things. But I'd be very much opposed to changing our committee structure or adding another full board meeting or adding going to four board meetings, eliminating. I definitely would be opposed to that because I know the important function that it plays, and perhaps when we finish making our comments, I'd like to hear from staff on what you think the impact of eliminating committees might be. Now, obviously, it's a sensitive topic because general manager works for the board and you work for the general manager, so. But I'd encourage you to be frank and be honest. Director Armitage.
Thank you. There was comments made that if we were to switch from a no committee structure to full four board meetings, that it implied that there would be much more work for staff. I see it as the other way. I see it as there's less work for staff, because if you have the first meeting of the month is the FNA focused meeting, and the second of the meeting of the month is E&O, third meeting is water resources, and the last one would be POL. You know, if we were to keep that structure, it could be something different. I mean, if we decide to merge some of them or whatever, and maybe have three meetings instead of four, I don't know. The idea, I think, is that staff would actually only have to prepare a presentation for and do a presentation one time rather than to the committee and then to the full board. So I see it as a reduction or efficiency of work for some of the staff. So I just wanted to reiterate that. Second, I know we were talking about the issue of having weekly meetings then. And I just want to point out, I think there's three of us sitting here right now, so a third of the board, that next week we have three meetings. We have FNA, we have our board meeting, and then we have POL, all in one week. And, you know, that can be difficult if they're both big packets in a week. So in terms of, you know, having four weekly meetings, like, in my opinion, I'd rather have my meetings spaced out so I can give proper time and attention to reading the materials beforehand rather than being slammed with three meetings in one week as well. So I don't know that there's any perfect, you know, timing for meetings, but I just want to point out that it's not perfect right now either. So in terms of the concern of the consent calendar, you know, none of us have a problem pulling an item if we feel that we want to have more discussion on something.
Right.
So I think that leadership would do a good job in trying to determine what's appropriate for consent calendar and what's appropriate to be an action item. And if there was an agreement, you know, I think we'd be okay with pulling it. There's already kind of an unofficial criteria that's being used in committees, and I think that would just carry over to when you would be preparing the board meeting. And then one last one. You know, if committee meetings continue, I think it would be nice to have board members rotate through them annually. I know some people are kind of seen as experts in one field or another, but I think it lends to a more informed board and more cohesive board if we all have the opportunities to learn more deeply in the different committees for periods of time as well. So I think kind of spreading that wealth and sharing that wealth of knowledge, I think it's important in building a strong overall board. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Let me look down here. Vice President Gutsa.
It's it. By the way, I wanted to applaud IT for fixing the microphones. Yay. And bringing back a lot of memories from U-Haul Water, because I will burst the bubble that not having committee meetings is more efficient, because I remember many items that came back two or sometimes three times to the full board, and it was a lot. I mean, and then you have the full board, multiple issues with that. Number one, it's a more formal setting. You generally have all board members commenting on everything, and it's also a little more structured setting, so you know, the public is there. You can't informally discuss things and suggest as well as you can at a committee. Again, all open to the public, but when you have nine board members commenting at three board meetings, that is guaranteed going to take longer than having a little more detailed discussion at committee. And then because of that vetting, Director Cooper said what I was going to say about refining things at a committee, because it's refined, by the time it gets to the full board, it's often a shorter presentation and a cleaner, more focused presentation, because we know what fellow board members are concerned about. We can predict, and you know we do this, we predict who's going to say what and what had better be answered at the full board meeting, because even though the committee might be okay with it, we know that this person's going to say this thing, and you better be prepared for this question from this other person or an audience member, or this is what we're concerned about. If the public has a comment on it, you make sure you address this. Even though the committee didn't initially discuss it, we can refine it to what we want talked about and focused on for the public presentation. So I think committees refine the process and the presentation, and it's a better presentation by the time it gets to the full board. I just have an individual question for Peter. We had applicants who were, and I welcome applicants who are still working full-time from banking industry. We had lawyers. To me, busy people are busy, and I'm looking, I know I'm busy from 5 a.m. until 10 at night every single day and weekends. I personally could arrange my schedule and would be willing to come during the day. Is that something that positions like yours would have the flexibility, those kind of management positions? Is there flexibility to come during the day, or is during the day for that type of career a non-starter? I don't need to put you on the spot, but if you want to talk in generality, but I just...
Prison Ward, may I? Go. Rich Prison could say that not a lot of cruise operators in Santa Clarita, but from the private sector, it really depends. If you're working on... It will be difficult. And my line will be extremely difficult. There's also positions that I held last year where you were an emergency duty job. And every time I was in the committee, and every time I was in the week, I did alert the chair, I did alert the president, that any time we have to step outside. I think it only happened twice. It does happen. And although sample size is small, because we're just discussing meetings, it would be intrusive for 2 to 3 hours during the regular weekday. Mm-hmm. Someone in the private sector would serve on this kind of board.
Okay. Yeah. I have flexibility in what I do, being self-employed. So I know not everybody has that. I just wanted to be clear that at the workshop day would be a non-voting event, because I do think that we still need some kind of presentation and ability to receive public comment, and oftentimes the public doesn't come unless it's a voting item, so we would still need to have at least a shorter presentation on that same item at the board meeting. We couldn't say, it was presented last week, so we're not going to talk about it at the full board meeting. We may have to discuss it twice, is what I'm saying. And lastly, on committees, historically, President Martin has asked what we have interest in to pick our top two, Director Marks, and then he assigns people based on where we can go without violating the Brown Act. I do like having a sense of history. On the finance side, you understand things, and maybe you don't have to have a presentation all the time. And I do miss water resources, and I wish I could have magically backed on that, but I do think it is good to focus where you have a history and a depth, because then it's easier. You don't have to re-educate everyone all the time. And again, I certainly would call about a water resources and have called about a water resources issue that was interesting to me, even though I'm not on the committee. So I think it's a balance of surveying where do we want to go. Maybe people want to move, but maybe some people want to stay. I think there's pluses and minuses. I wouldn't do an automatic rotation of the committees, in my opinion. That's all.
Thanks.
Dr. Bronson.
I just had a quick question. When you guys got rid of committee meetings, did you substitute it with board meetings, or was it just kept the same?
Everything was to be brought to the board.
Okay, but did you end up, like...
Back in those days, there was only one board meeting a month.
So you only had one board meeting a month, and you eliminated committee meetings. So I'm just trying to see if I can compare it apples to apples. That's all. Because what I'm saying is not eliminate without adding.
Yeah.
So I might still be wrong, but I just wanted to know what the experience was.
Yeah, it was a different kind of organization back then. It was Catholic Lake Water Agency. It was much smaller at the time. They weren't anywhere near advanced as the treatment plant. Well, they had one.
Okay.
And so it was a much smaller organization at the time.
Yeah. And we're still not built out, too, so we're...
Yeah.
So
yeah, we're a big organization.
Okay. And that's all I have for it.
Dr. Collin.
So I'm going to attempt to confuse the conversation even more. another thing, well, so we've mentioned the Brown Act several times. And, of course, the Brown Act prevents a committee from having more than four folks on it.
Participating.
But, okay, so that rule comes from the fact that is a committee meeting. And so let me segue into something else that was tried and that was done at Cal State Lake Water Agency some number of years ago. Every committee meeting was simply noticed as a, I forget the exact verbiage we call it, committee of the whole or something like that. Okay. So it was noticed as a regularly scheduled board meeting. And there was an understanding that the chair would assign people to go to different meetings. And so if we were to do something similar here, okay, a possibility would be to simply say that committees will generally have five members, and the president or the executive committee would assign five people to, you know, we want you to be a member of this committee, we want you to go. And if, let me tell you why Cal State Lake Water Agency did away with it. There was one board member who looked at the law and said, oh, it's a meeting that is noticed as the board meeting, then I get to go and I get to collect my $200 stipend. And so that individual just kind of became belligerent and said, I'm just going to go. And I'm going to collect my $200. And so in response to that, the structure was killed. I would suggest that one possibility is that, I suggest first off that I think we all get along well enough that if we decided that that was something we wanted to do, we wanted to have committees of five, and we could probably, you know, looking at the faces that are here on this board today, say that I think most of us, if not all of us, would agree to not look at the law book and say, you know, I get to collect my $200 or $250 an hour, whatever it is, and I'm going to go anyway. And I would suggest to you that if such a person was to materialize, the president of the board could, of course, just do away with the structure. And frankly, that individual just simply say, well, you're lucky that you can be at every board meeting. But, now we're going to have committee meetings, and you're not going to be on any of them. We have also done that in a different, to at least one individual on this board a long time ago that displeased the majority of the board. Anyway, just wanted to bring that up, that one could do that. think it's worth discussing, because a committee of five would add value, and we can do it with minimal cost and minimal, I think it'd be very little work to do that. And we just wanted to bring that up as a possibility of another possible change.
Mr. President.
This way.
Director Cooper. I recall that. And it wasn't committees, it was the agenda planning committee. And that was the issue, is they wanted to have more people on the agenda planning because we were having committee chairs on the agenda planning at the time. And that was the issue, is we wanted to have five people on agenda planning. And it really came to the point where legal said, no, you can't do that. You must then notice it as a board meeting. And if you notice it as a board meeting, then other board members can come, and then you do have to compensate them with a stipend. And that's why we got rid of it. But Metropolitan does that. Metropolitan, all their committees are board meetings. They're all noticed as board meetings. All 37 members of the board can come to any committee. They can participate in the discussions, but they don't get to vote. Now, Metropolitan doesn't even have stipends. They don't pay anybody for anything. So that's a little different. But that's the way Met has operated for many, many years, is anybody that wants, any director that wants to come to the committees can, because it's a board meeting, and they can come in and they can participate, but they don't get to vote as they're not a committee member. Kind of same thing we have now, is people can come to the committee and be there, and they can get to vote, and they can learn all they want. If somebody says, I'd like to learn more about, they're more than welcome to come to another committee if they want to go to finance or legislation or any of those. It's always available. But it didn't work. Knowing our board secretary, she remembers that.
Ken was taking copious notes, so I'm wondering if you want to say that.
Should we hear from staff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's hear from staff.
You want to hear from staff?
I understand they have some opinion.
Mr. Scott, do you want to provide us any input?
Yeah, with my copious notes here that I've taken. Well, first, I really appreciate the discussion, because it has been kind of rattling around different people, bouncing different ideas, and so I think it was a great opportunity to just have everybody's perspective out on the table and hear it. So we're going to go home now. I'll start with this. I was kind of jotting down some notes. I've worked for either three or four, if you count Castaic as separate, which I do in this sense, culturally. I've worked for four different boards in my career, and the first one I started with had a five-member board of maybe a 20-member staff, 25-member staff. And they had, I can't remember now, I think it was one board meeting a month, but they did have an executive committee that was kind of like the agenda planning committee, but it also was just let the board president come in and have coffee and talk for a few hours. I can say that now. Rest in peace, Wayne Clark. He's a wonderful man. But he needed to come in and talk. That we had a merger there, and that changed to a seven-member board, which had four committees and board meeting. That board, for the first number of years, really had trust issues, getting to know each other. We had taken what had been a very, you know, kind of stable, I guess, board over many years, where the board members knew the business, they knew the history, and mixed it up, and we suddenly had like maybe five of the seven who didn't have any real history on what the agency did up close. And so there was a shakeout period there, and there were a couple periods where it got a little rough, and one of the solutions was to try to go to committees of the whole and have full board meetings for everything. And it worked in some sense that the worst scenario you can get is when you have a committee that sees it one way and the majority of the board sees it another way, because then staff kind of get whipsawed around. They either get a proposal batted down in committee that the board would probably approve, or they get a committee that's charging in one direction and the rest of the board says, whoa, wait a minute, no, we don't agree with that. That doesn't happen that often, but it can, you know, and again, it's, what else I'll say, I guess, is you kind of have to, I think there's a lot of merit in the sentiments about the committees actually having a function in refining, in being a sounding board, in being somewhat of a sieve or a screening tool for what are the big issues versus what are the routine issues, both in terms of action items. We talked a lot about that today. But I know that the committees on the regular, they'll hear proposals, presentations every month about ongoing activities. And once every so often, they'll hear something and say, you know, this really should go to the full board. Mm-hmm. And we do that now. And what we try to do is work those in on the lighter meetings to try to not have those 11 o'clock end time. So we try to schedule those, and I can see the provisional meeting maybe having a good safety valve feature there, where we're just jammed up for several months with no space on an action calendar at those other two meetings, and we have something we really would like to make a presentation on that might be useful. When I worked at Rancho, it was a seven-member board. Maria will be delighted to know that I had a lot of farmers on the board, and they preferred to meet at 7:30 in the morning. And as one said, if we're not done by 9, I'm leaving because the wind comes up and I need to spray. So you know, I think the point is you have to tailor your structure to your community. And in that case, no one really complained that much about daytime meetings. But I think as the composition of the board changed over the years, it became more of an issue, you know, in terms of competing with board schedules. CLWA, we had an 11-member board. I can't even remember what our committee structure was. I know we had at least two, if not three, committees on that board. I think for sure three, maybe four. For SCB Water, we had a 15-member board, a 14-member board, a 13-member board, a 12-member board, 11, 10, and now 9-member board with four committees. I guess the plus to me of just moving to themed board meetings, you lose the screening, you lose maybe the consent calendar control, you would potentially have occasions where staff crash and burn in front of the full board, which is not great for morale. You also potentially lose time unless we start timing all of our bid packages so that they're always having openings before that particular theme board meeting every month. Because instead of two meetings that you could take an item to timely award a bid, you're down to one, or you've got to disrupt someone else's meeting to get that done. So people will be saying, why is there any, this is the water resources night. Those are things you have to kind of weigh. There's an appeal to only having to meet four times a month, and I even had a proposal, maybe we just do three. If we're not doing that much with outreach and legislation, maybe that committee meets once a quarter. But it does then really raise the stakes on everything that comes on those nights once a month from that department. And I do feel like a lot of information goes to the board right now. I think it was pointed out whether an item's on action or consent, has a full staff written report, because we don't know it's going to be on consent when we bring it to committee. And I would say I'm about 80% accurate on that. Some of them I'm 100% accurate, but there are things that surprise me. There are committee summaries. We have recently tried to beef those up a little bit as well. I think it's been noted. There is the recording of the committee that's available for anyone that wants to listen to it. I even go back sometimes and listen to those to clarify what the discussion was. There are departmental monthly reports that are very extensive. They go into the board packet every month. And as noted, key presentations are referred to the board by each committee. So I do feel like we are, you know, all of you are making a good faith effort, and the staff are making a good faith effort. Have the process work well. But yes, the allure of just four meetings a month. My experience when I've had committees as a whole at two different agencies prior to this is they get very long, and you can sometimes run into choppy waters where you haven't had the foresight of committee input, and you're bringing it to the full board, and instead of four committee members picking it apart, pointing out flaws or refining, you're going to have nine doing that. I think the other thing is, for those who are maybe in the minority on a position but would like to have some weighting in the consideration of the item, I think the committees generally have done a really good job. And I will say, of any organization I've worked for, our committee structure is the most user-friendly. Some organizations I've worked for have literally just done a vote, and if you lose the vote, too bad. I have seen our committees bend over backwards with one another to really listen to each other's input and try to find a solution that might be a consensus. And when they haven't, even particularly finance, reporting out, hey, we don't have a consensus. Here's a couple of ideas. And letting the board then take it. And then, of course, it's not a consent, and the full board does get to consider. And staff is perhaps armed with a set of additional follow-up facts or questions that they need to run down to make the discussion at the board more productive. So that's my input. It's alluring to have fewer meetings and to have everyone at the table at every meeting. But from a practical standpoint, I think because of our complexity, both issue-wise and scope-wise, and looking at other legislative bodies, you know, most other legislative bodies have some kind of committees, whether it's the state legislature, the federal government, even organizations have committees at times. You know, Urban Water Institute has a program committee, has a recruitment committee, which frankly needs to be better staffed, and an executive committee to try to steer things when needed. That's it. I haven't, hopefully not too lengthy, but I really appreciated the level of thought that went into the comments tonight. And I don't want to sound like I'm cheerleading for the status quo. I just think weighing it all and giving it from a staff perspective, I think there are probably still a few more pros than cons to keeping the committee structure. Although, if we want to test it, I bet Rochelle would volunteer to just take one meeting and make that a committee of the whole.
They are quite long.
Thanks.
Yeah, I thank you, Matt, for your input. I'm very sensitive to the, use that word twice. There are time-sensitive issues that come to committees and then to boards. Many in construction, many in contract awards, change order approvals, any actions that are going to either hold up or expedite field work where there's the clock is running with the whole construction crew out there. I think that's an important function that needs to be able to get to the board on an expedited basis. And I think that's the function of the committee is to get it to the board or expedite it. And probably, I'm sure there's time-sensitive issues that come out of finance, there's time-sensitive issues that come out of water resources. But my feeling, and I appreciate all the board's input, I would like to see us stay status quo with regard to committees and add a placeholder for a committee meeting slash workshop slash educational on the third Tuesday. And then an agenda planning, we can decide whether we're going to have a meeting or whether we're not going to have a meeting. Should be plenty of advance notice for staff. And I see that board meeting is perhaps 2 to 4 a year, maybe. I think we'll run out of items that are need to be presented as an educational or workshop type thing. So, Vice President Ozahasky.
Okay, I just want to point out that keeping track in our first round of comments going through all the board members took us about an hour for everyone to give a comment. So imagine that on issues that obviously are not on consent calendar. And just to let everybody know, the agenda planning meeting, those usually last less than 2 hours, an hour and a half, maybe an hour at the most. So if we're going to assess what an item is going on consent, that will be a committee meeting on its own. Because the presentation will have to be given. Reading the title and giving a rough description of what's at stake, that's not good enough. Back to you, President Martin.
Okay. Director Cooper.
I think you meant the second Tuesday, because the first and the third we have board meetings.
Yeah, whichever one is good in the middle.
And one of those other Tuesdays.
That's good enough. I get it.
Vice President, this side.
I wanted to see if I could request a little bit, since I can't go to daytime, but could we look at focusing on hard stop at 9 by pushing presentations onto that day if it was more of an informational presentation so that our board meeting is... We've had a few that have gone over to like 9:30 again. So
it's been better recently.
It has. Oh, I know it's been much better. But just if that's there, that we push presentations to that to shorten the length of the regular.
Yeah. So maybe I did. I have a list of things that I missed it in all this stuff.
Wow.
Well, these are your thoughts, but yeah, I was like circling ideas, making notes. Back to how many meetings we might have. I mean, a couple of other examples, you know, budget workshop was mentioned. That could definitely be programmed. The mandated AB 1234 training, which we normally will pick like a Monday night, we could certainly slot that for one of those times. With the idea being, if we're thinking ahead, people can plan the rest of their lives. I could see, in the years that we do urban water management plans, maybe using the night for the informational presentation on that. I could see potentially in years where we're doing water rates, maybe using one of those Tuesdays. Although we couldn't use it as an action night, I think we have to do that at regular notice meeting. I think maybe not. But it'd probably be better to do the action. But we could certainly do
the workshop discussion.
Granted, it probably would have a couple of rounds of committee before it got to the full board, but then the board would be better prepared. And the public would be invited to sort of get a second bite. And we might be able to talk to council. We might be able to do our 218 workshop. I don't remember if the law requires it be regulated, but it's sort of sticking in my head somewhere.
Okay, what's the
regular? Where's our junior council? Do you remember? It's got to be a regular
council. But wouldn't it be a regular board meeting if it's...
Well, that's right. That's right. Yeah, if we regularly scheduled it as opposed to provisionally. So there could be some utility for the idea. So I'll stop there.
Okay. Director Bernstein.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your input and staff. Like, I really appreciate hearing everybody talking about this. I had a few questions, if I may. What is the average time of a committee meeting? I know what ours is, but like engineering, I know that FNA takes forever. Sometimes.
Depends on how good the chair
is. 2 to 2.5 hours.
What, 2.5 hours for
you? 2 to 2.5, depending on the.
And water resources?
Same thing.
2 to 2.
They start earlier. I think everybody usually starts.
He's got a
problem. We all start at 5:30.
Yeah. Okay. I was just a bit curious. Also, I was wondering if you could clarify again what you meant about pushing the presentation.
Just since we were kind of our free range comments, and yeah. I really like the daytime meetings.
Yeah,
that
get it.
We can, you know, get somewhere near 7 hours of sleep at least. But if we have, so I'm supportive of many people's suggestion, including yours, to have a presentation day. But since if we could use that also to make sure our hard stop at 9 is actually a hard stop at 9.
So informational.
Yeah.
So if we have like just informational stuff,
like a Delta update or a quarterly report from finance, if we had a busy agenda,
that's a great
for
idea.
The full board meeting, it could go on that meeting instead, so that we were stopping at 9.
Okay. And then my last comments are more about like if the board ever got, for some crazy reason, new people on the board, I think having them be at having it set up as board meetings, as committee meetings, as board meetings, would probably get them on the board much faster because it would be there and understanding all the ins and outs and everything. And I also think that often the other comment is that I often feel like we get stuff where I understand that committee has gone through, but it kind of throws at least me through a loop, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do right now because apparently it's time sensitive. But I really don't feel like I could use more time to have another discussion about this. So, like, and it feels kind of rushed and uncomfortable. So, I know I can always vote no. Don't worry. I know that. It's just something that I feel is sometimes a little bit of a problem. But I hear what where the board's leaning, and I respect.
Director Kelly, I'll get you.
So I'll sort of phrase this as a question, because I'm not sure. Not all that long ago, we moved committee meetings generally from 6 o'clock to 5:30, in part to help staff, presumably that intersected better with their regular workday and got them home earlier. Presumably that also, you know, a little bit, half hour at least, assuming that the meetings would last as long as they would last, generally, with Director Gutzeit's issue of trying to get done so that you can go home and go to bed to get up the next morning. So I'm just wondering, should we consider the committee or the regular board meetings starting at the consistent 5:30 so that it matches up? Also be easier for me to keep track of. I'm wondering if we'd be better off scheduling every meeting to start at 5:30.
Well, we did move board meetings from 6:30 to 6. And so 6 to 5:30, I guess there's one voice we haven't heard from tonight. That's our board secretary, who does much of the work.
I mean, I can just say, if I move it to 5:30, I will be late multiple times.
But you've already got that response.
Well, I can just say, I mean, because I think the other part is, like, again, either mothers or people that work in the business sector or people that go to school, it's kind of tricky
the transition
to have that time. I pick up at 5 from this day. There's no way for me to...
Yeah.
Physically make it.
Thank you. Answers my question.
Sorry.
No, Vice President of the House.
Made it easy.
All right. So wanting to know what the need is or what the ask is from board directors here. Maybe if Director Bronstein and Director Armitage can answer this question. So is the need, like for example, if we're interested in this educational session, is the need to be educated on the function of the agency, whether it be forecast, budgeting, what resources, or is there a need for an explanation of particular action items? Director Bronstein.
I think Director Collin gave an example of like the history of Devil's Den or something like that.
Yeah.
Anything of general interest that perhaps board members aren't as knowledgeable as, or the more senior ones, the ones with white hair and others.
For me, it's just in general, I just always appreciate more information. Like the more I can learn about something, the better I feel coming to the decision-making table. So I do take my own time to listen to recordings. You know, when I'm reading a board packet, if I have questions, I've trained myself that before I reach out to staff members, I now listen to the recording and I listen to the item that was presented before the committee to see if those questions were already asked and if they were, how they were answered, and if I'm still not satisfied, then I'll reach out with my questions. So that's what I do, but I don't expect everybody to do that. That's why I've been advocating for just more information to come to all the board members.
Okay.
Sure. Can I just say that I do very much appreciate staff's perspective. You know, it's staff that's doing the work, and I'm hearing that there is value to the committee process, and so I appreciate hearing that and putting that in my mind. So, thank you.
So it's understood that you're okay with the current process. You take the initiative if you have enough familiar subject matter to speak with either the GNEM or GM's direct reports. I believe, Mr. Stone, you've made that possibility to all directors, that they're more than welcome to ask questions, make comments to your direct reports directly. Preferably with a copy with you so you know what's going on, but
that's helpful.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, there are, you know, general managers that ask the board members not to do that. You know, they ask specifically any questions, please address them to me, and then I'll forward to a specific individual within my organization. So I definitely appreciate that, Mr. Stone, for letting us do that. So again, that goes back to my original question: what are we solving here? What's the ask? I mean, the ask is to give them knowledge, but that knowledge is readily available, and us as elected leaders, I believe it's up to us to seek that guidance. And there's no roadblock. Way. Nothing really stops us as individual directors to seek that information.
Yeah. Chris Martin. Okay, so to answer that question, I think I can't speak for everyone, but I think there's a number of directors who on the board who don't think there was a problem that we have to address. But this is in lieu of having an ad hoc committee, then I don't think we would come out of the ad hoc committee with a consensus, and then therefore it would end up in front of the full board for, we now are going to be going on 2 hours. This wouldn't have been appropriate for a regular board meeting to have this discussion. So this seemed to be a way to conduct the business of the ad hoc along with having it in front of the full board. So I don't think that we have a problem we have to solve. But I do understand the suggestion for a placeholder, a regular meeting, a standing meeting for the purpose of conducting education workshop items, informational items that are too long, to have a regular board meeting. And I think that's got some merit, and I would have a problem moving forward with that. But I don't feel that we need to make any changes to the committee structure at this point. So. Director Bronstein?
Sorry. I'm just going to throw it out there. Can we have conservation and public outreach and legislation? It just seems like it just goes so much better. You don't think so? Because it seems silly, like we're talking about things that then it's like, well, we need to have another presentation about other outreach, which is silly to me. Like, if we're doing outreach, what? Conservation outreach, like, it should all be under this. But,
cool.
And I know that it's in water because it's a water resource. I get it, but I'm just putting out there officially.
Okay. It's officially out there.
We talked about that. It does play a big role in water resources. It could go really probably either place, but public outreach is much bigger than just conservation messaging too. So, I mean, we talked about that. As we heard at their presentation, they do outreach for projects. They do outreach for other things as well, rebates. Rate assistance. So it, conservation is one portion of the outreach. So it's, it could go either place.
I'm just saying we also don't have our load.
Well, yeah. If staff wants to, whatever my opinion, we can consult with staff. I mean, my opinion is if because POL has a very light load, if it could go either place and staff is okay with it, then maybe it's fine. If there's a reason why it's where it is, in my opinion, it's also fine. I wouldn't want to just add stuff to POL so that we have more meetings, but if it makes sense and it lightens up water resources load, then maybe that makes sense and that solves the problem.
Gary?
Director Martin.
Concerned about what aspect of conservation staff would be earning public outreach and other aspects might continue to be addressed in water resources. Right now you have the same staff implementing programs, but there's a lot of public outreach. Aspects such as water demand projections that are handled by the same staff that I think really needs to be made in the Water Resources Sponsorship Team because that is so integral to our water management plans, our proper sustainability plans, and so forth.
So, I think maybe I'll try to make this in the form of a motion. I've generally heard mostly supportive things for the idea of having a second Tuesday meeting regularly. I've heard really nobody that I've heard has been against generally the idea that would be an appropriate date, appropriate time for an additional meeting. The only question would be, is it something where we sort of each individually hold that open and the possibility that it might get filled, or do we have a regularly scheduled meeting with the possibility that officer staff would eliminate the meeting. But I think that in general it's better and easier on staff. And I would invite April, if she wants to disagree with me. But I think that if we have a regularly scheduled meeting, there'd be some advantages, and the staff would not need to chase us all down. We could handle items like rate setting meetings at a regularly scheduled meeting. So I think there's some advantages in saying that we will schedule that meeting and potentially cancel it. As was mentioned by somebody here, we have such meetings that are canceled almost always. So it's not difficult to cancel the meeting. I think that's something that April does quick and easy, as opposed to wrangling us. Anyway, so I'm going to make it in the form of a motion that we add a regularly scheduled board meeting for the purposes of study, training, education, where we would not intend to have action items, and that meeting would be scheduled for the second Tuesday of every month. I think that's a complete motion, I hope. Thanks.
All right. Anybody like to second Director Crowley's motion? Director Bronson.
I'll second it.
Okay. Director Cooper.
Did we have this on the agenda tonight to be able to do this?
I think so.
Yes, we did. So
we
the
did?
Board can take action tonight.
Okay. You know, I don't know if we need a motion. I think we ought to let the president see if he can work out how to do this, what's best.
As far as the second Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay, would this have to come back to the board for approval to add another standing meeting? I guess I'm looking through Matt.
There,
and
it's not a standing committee, we have a standing board meeting.
If you add another board meeting, it would just come back to the board for approval by resolution. We would just be adding a second.
Was that a yes? We have
yes. It would come back, yeah.
Okay.
But can I just, and I usually don't do this, so I apologize, but I just think that it's important that we take into consideration, too, that means that there's a board packet and board meeting every single week. If it's not a board meeting, it is. There would be a board packet the same day as a board meeting, and I would still have to do my regular business as well. So that would be three meetings a month every single week. There would be a board meeting and a board packet on the same exact day that had to get run and sent out, on top of preparing for the board meetings. And that would be dinner three times every month as well that would have to be prepared for. And vacation time for me would then be non-existent. And I kind of like to go on vacation on occasion. But, I mean, like Director Cooper said, I plan for my vacations around board meetings and board packets so that I'm always there. So just something to consider as well, that if we are going to add an informational meeting, that maybe we can stagger it so it's not on that Tuesday, so at least I can prep for the board meeting or send out a packet, and I don't have to do it on the exact same day. Even if it's canceled, it's still extra work. So if we could just take into consideration and maybe do a Thursday, but still, it just something to think about, because all those items still have to come in from the executive, from all the admins that have to send it. And preparing a board packet, it takes time.
Right.
So it's not something that it's just done like that and it's finished. So just, you know, something to consider in setting up special meetings or other meetings. It doesn't take that long as my board responds to my email quickly. The time-consuming part of it is when I have to do follow-ups to say, is everybody available? But normally, any of the ethics stuff that I send up, ethics training or sexual harassment prevention training, or any of the other meetings that we have, they're calendared in advance. So the GM review, that sort of stuff, is calendared in advance. So just something to think about, just from my perspective. And I'm sorry, I don't usually do that, but I thought it was kind of important that maybe you got my point of view a little bit, too.
What if we just put it on your calendar as potential workshop every month?
Yeah.
And they can get it. So the president of the map.
Doesn't that create part of the same problem?
Yeah, I think it, I think the thing is it's doubling up. Another thought I'd forgotten to mention. I know way back when we were picking our regular meetings, we went to the first and third because we wanted to avoid city council.
Yes, that's what I wanted to say.
And she burned up her public comment card already. So
I know, so, and that's
I could feel it then. But you know, there are actually occasions where we send staff, staff to the workshop they had on one of the big land use items in town, you know, to observe and report back. So perhaps an amended idea coming out of this workshop would just be, can we get a general sense if the majority of the board would like to add a third date, but then let there be a little percolation at the staff level to find what date would be a good workable date, because I also need to avoid certain dates for state water contractors, and there may be other, you know, we should look at the committee nights and make sure we're not
So I'm willing to withdraw the motion if that helps.
Or amend it. You could amend it.
Well,
I'm cool withdrawing it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of what I've heard staff say is, and what I heard staff and us say is that we kind of like the idea of a third meeting being regularly calendared, and so if staff could work to try to figure out what that might be, and come back to us at one of our other regular meetings in the next month or two, so that we can then figure out. I guess we could go down the table back and forth and say, you know, my third Thursday is good. Oh my God, I think that might be a miserable thing to try to do right now. But I think April is capable of doing that kind of thing, and some of us, we might try to do better about answering promptly. We might try.
In the effort of, we're in the flow now, optimizing. We might even want to try. The word piloting was used. We might even want to try piloting that third night for a few months, noticing it as a special until we're into a rhythm where we go, yeah, this is working. I mean, it's probably either way, but we might want to test a couple of different nights to see what really works. Just leaving that possibility out there.
Can we kill this idea as easily as we created it? I mean, if you
pilot it and we don't like it, we can just say, well, that was a good idea, but we'll just continue to try to be efficient with our regular schedule.
How about it? Madam Secretary, you had your hand up.
What if the board considers quarterly, like having a special meeting quarterly instead of monthly? So we would have our regular two board meetings a month, and then quarterly we have that third meeting that we could throw it on there. Anything that was special in addition to, but please keep in mind, I would still have my ethics training. I would still have the other meetings I currently have, but this would be in addition, and then staff still can go on vacation.
We need to get staff some backup.
Vice President.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to vote against this wholeheartedly. And the reason being is no one has given any specifics onto what exactly they want to hear during these meetings. So it was, I want more information on action items. That is taking place during engineering committees. Moving into quarterly kind of defeats that purpose. All right, I guess I heard another ask was, well, let's do budgeting, which actually was brought forth by the GM, not by any of the directors. All right, but that's already taking place at the finance committee level on a monthly basis. So I don't see, I haven't heard a specific ask of what needs to be presented during these meetings, seeing that we have absolutely no roadblock in getting that information from general manager's direct reports.
So we've always had the option to schedule a special meeting on an as-needed basis. So perhaps we don't need to add a standing meeting, but perhaps we should try to come up with a day of the month that works for the most people and kind of reserve that for any special meeting if it's possible, if it's from a timing standpoint, whether it works. So there's that option. Special meeting, standing meeting, a third meeting.
I'm sorry, President, but a meeting about what? Okay. And then who gets to select what gets presented? I mean, I think it was suggested that the agenda planning selects topics. I wouldn't be okay with that. Maybe we can ask the directors during the regular board meeting what sort of topics they want to hear on a quarterly basis. That could be a potential too. I'm not hearing the specific information or content that needs to be presented during this educational series. Back to you, President.
Gary,
Vice
President, please.
I just wanted to somewhat agree with Director Orzechowski, although I don't mind it, a meeting. I'll say now I probably won't go because I have a long history with the agency and I feel like I get enough information. And my committees are all call on a topic of interest, so I am concerned that we'll have meetings that staff has to prepare for that. Maybe people don't come to. Maybe everybody besides me will go, but I also heard that this is a meeting that, you don't get shunned if you don't go, and we still will have to have critical information presented at the board. So it's a mixed bag. I hear you on that.
Director Armitage.
Yeah. To give you specifics, examples, I think that of topics that I think would be of benefit to get more opportunities to learn from. I think one of the discussions that we've had or started having in finance and administration that will come to the full board is the whole issue of the connection fees, which is still super confusing to me, even though we've had so many discussions because there's the retail capacity fees and then there's, regional and I know that we're going to have to be making some decisions around that soon, so I can see that as a topic coming to one of the study sessions to give us an opportunity to learn more, because I think there is a lot to learn still around that. The debt finance issue is a topic that we kind of keep circling back to over and over, and I think that the timing of the information coming to the Committee of Finance and Administration before it comes to the board has greatly improved, and I feel like we are being given more opportunity, but I think there still is more opportunity to learn because it's highly complicated. And if you're not living in the finance world 24/7, it takes it takes focus to try to understand that. I think the issues with these new groundwater storage projects. We had a very cursory presentation given to us last week. I think it was last week. Together, which is great, but I think there's still so much that's like a whole new world, I think, that we're diving into with that. That's another topic that I would love to spend a lot more time learning about, and I'm not on Water Resources Committee, right? We've got decisions coming up on Delta Conveyance Project, which is a massive project that you all know better than I do, that I think some of us can still continue to learn from. We're going to be making decisions on rates again in the near future. There are so many deeply complex issues that, yes, we're given information in our packets, and if you want to accept that as the amount of information you want to make these decisions, that's fine. But for those of us who are looking for more information, I think giving us that opportunity with perhaps a quarterly study session, I would very much appreciate that opportunity. So, but just to give you some examples.
Can I ask one? I'm sorry, but I'm thinking of a water resources thing and I can't. Oh, modeling. I didn't understand the modeling. And AGM Cole and Director Marks at the time, or it wasn't Director Marks, it was staff person Marks, offered to talk to me, and I had a one-hour presentation one-on-one with them that was really good. So I'll just go back to, you know, that's out there in that level of detail if you want to know something, and not everybody probably wants or needs to hear that, but you can get, I think the format to get you the information should be there. I just don't, I think we should pick the most expeditious and efficient format that people will take advantage of. So if there's going to be meetings where there's two people there, it's probably not a good use of a board meeting.
Question?
Director Arnold?
Thank you. I mean, I think that right there is an example, though, of you're great. You got a one-on-one on that. I would have loved to have heard that, too.
I just asked.
I know, but my point is if one of us has a question, maybe some other of us would take that opportunity to learn that information, too. So I guess I'm just frustrated right now because you have a number of us saying, we would like information given to us as well, or we would like more information given to us. And I understand, and I very much appreciate the input given on the value that staff finds in the committee structure. So I'm not going to mess with that. But now we're saying, like, maybe we won't even offer a study session, or I'm not supportive of an additional study session. It's just mind-boggling to me, because you have directors looking for more information and wanting to be better decision makers at the table. And I'm just not understanding the lack of support for helping get information to board members more. That's all I'm saying.
Director Armitage, what prevents you from seeking guidance from Ms. Patterson?
Nothing. But does she want five of us reaching out to her with questions? Or maybe I should ask, would you rather have a forum where you can answer all the questions at once? Or do you want us reaching out to you? I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm sorry. I don't want to do that. Some people may not want to be reached out for these very, very complex issues where it may take 2 hours to answer my questions, and maybe offer that opportunity to everybody on the board to have a forum to ask those questions back and forth. I just, a quarterly meeting, I mean, I don't understand why you can't even agree to a quarterly meeting.
Director Colley.
So, In proposing the structure, to say that next month I want a particular item on the schedule for that meeting doesn't really answer the question of whether or not it's of value. Looking back in time, I can think of many items that came to the board that lengthened a meeting and caused it to go well after 9 o'clock. And there are members of this board that got pretty antsy, and president of the board says, you know, look, folks, why don't you, telling us very, very nicely, shut the hell up, we want to go home. I don't like that kind of a structure. I don't think that's a good, healthy way for the board to be. I don't think that we ought to be constrained by a clock. And I think that this kind of thing where we can offload a presentation by, an outside person on the tunnel project onto a study session meeting. That's the most recent example I can think of, just the last little bit. So I think that we're less likely, if we have this regularly scheduled study session, to go longer in our regular other first and third meetings. By offloading some of those informational items. As far as what gets put onto that, we have on every agenda, now on every other agenda, which I don't understand, but we have on our agenda the opportunity to propose items. for a future agenda item, and that would be an appropriate time to have directors say, look, I'd really like to learn more about whatever. And so, you know, that might be the agenda planning can say, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's put it onto this third meeting of the month, which is not on the second Tuesday. I still think it's a good idea to have a regularly scheduled meeting. And I'd like to figure out how to make that happen.
Mr. President?
Oh, sorry.
Please,
yeah, I sense everybody's growing fatigue, and I know there was a huge reservoir of goodwill when we came in, so lucky for us, we will get through the drought. I keep going back to address the question, what would the benefit or value of that meeting be? I really go back to things that are periodic, longer presentations, and often, it's not necessarily filling an information gap, but it's restructuring how the information is provided to the board in some ways, maybe opening up a little more bandwidth too. But just looking back in the last few months, we've had a presentation on Delta conveyance. We had a guest panel that came up, and that consumed a pretty good chunk of time at that meeting. That would have been a perfect opportunity to schedule it on that study night. There was no action pending there, just information in preparation for kind of a, we knew there was more activity coming this year and we wanted the board to have that opportunity. That was kind of staff referred. There was a water recharge study that was referred by a committee and presented. There was a fleet electrification update that was referred by another committee and presented. All of those could be coming off of those other two meetings, and maybe making them shorter in exchange for maybe having a one or two topic third meeting to just, you know, that might be a short meeting. I would suggest we not even have dinner. We just have snacks. That way we'll get cranky by 8 o'clock and we'll want to go home. Another one I'm thinking about, we just finished our strategic plan, and if we were going to do like an annual progress report on that, we could do that at that meeting once a year. I still think we should squeeze ethics training into that meeting, but maybe we'll find we got too many other good things to talk about, and we still need a special one. But I do think there are, you know, we have a extensive water master plan and modeling effort that's coming to a conclusion for our system. That might be a candidate. I suspect that there will be a referred presentation on that to the full board. That could come to that second, I keep saying third meeting, but second Tuesday, or date to be determined in deference to keeping our board secretary employed here. But those are to me, I think, answering the question. I don't know that it's necessarily a gap of knowledge. It's more a space for those presentations to happen offline from the meetings where we're doing more action and hopefully the consent calendar items. Anyway, that's my thought on how to optimize the idea. And then I think once you have that pattern, you might start to think more about the kinds of bigger issues that need study, right? That come up from time to time. Urban Water Management Plan was one I mentioned earlier. You know, we're going to be doing a big conservation rehash because of the new state regulations, and there'll be implications of that. That would still get tire-kicking committee, but there could be an opportunity to really then bring the full board along on the implications of those changes. So, enough of that. Thanks. Just, I really think there is a potential there.
You know, just a thought, rather than us picking a date and saying this is what it's going to be and this is what staff and the board has to do, is let's let the president, who we elected to help run the organization, work with staff. Staff understands
the need that there's going to be to have some workshop sessions. Let the president and staff work together and see what they can come up with, whether it's a schedule or whether it's a special meeting, and what works best for staff in this too. Because I think the things that General Manager Scum said here are certainly some items that could come to a special workshop that we would like to hear, and all except for the ethics training, and let them work together rather than us force something that's going to be every month. And, let's see where they bring it. And if we don't like it, we get back together and we change it.
I want to make a quick comment. I think, you know, maybe you need to check with legal on exactly how we change our calendar to have an additional regularly scheduled board meeting, because I think that's something that the president can't just decree. It may be possible, I don't know, but just check with legal.
Yeah, and sure. I think the board has to take an action.
That's what I thought.
Point.
Yeah.
But are we doing the special board?
Yeah, Joe's here.
I came in a little late, but yeah, we really demand the resolution.
Joe, you got some serious bass going.
Yeah.
Joe, can you say whatever it is you said again? And you sounded like God. I don't know, really bass.
Sorry, I was just planning to listen, but I do think we would just need to amend the resolution. The board would need to take action.
Okay, that's what I thought. Thanks. But certainly the president could figure this out and just put it on consent calendar.
So I don't sense that there's a consensus on approving a new standing meeting tonight.
Not tonight, because I think
so. You already have a motion and we have a second. So I would ask, you've already made the motion, Director Conley.
Right.
And Director Bronstein's already seconded it.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if we were allowed to withdraw it.
Okay.
Yeah, we can withdraw it, or you know, if you prefer
just
to
withdraw it and give us more time to study the question.
Yeah, that'd be. I think that's appropriate.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So we're not taking any action tonight on anything other than we're going to study further how we could establish a regular meeting schedule. Or how we would schedule information-only workshops, educational workshops, presentation workshops, outside of the regular standing board meetings. Okay. I think we're finished. I think let me go back to my agenda here and say, well, we've completed item five. I appreciate, former Director Planza coming in and sending her mental telepathy signal to the general, or vice versa. With that, we'll reach item six. We're adjourned. Thank you very much, board.
I'm
going to have a